This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.
Welcome to Specsaver, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
to me. Seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer. A free-for-all Friday.
You're asking to hear something I don't want to say. But if I do say it, I think you ought to hear it.
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
All right, then you asked for it.
Yes, we did. So lay it on us. Free-for-all Friday means you set the tone. Sitting in for Libby, here is Liz West.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this beautiful, spectacular, blue sky, sunny and warm Friday. Can you tell? I like it. I'm Liz West. I'm filling in for Libby, who's off. We have a jam-packed free-for-all Friday. I mean, really, it is jam-packed. And it's all about what you think. So these are the kinds of things we're talking about. First off, Canada Post workers have walked off the job nationwide. Services halted. The union says privatization is at the heart of the fight. And with bills and checks and packages in limbo, where does that leave you? Do you still need traditional mail? Then, of course, Premier Doug Ford has said he's banning speed cameras, and he's even floated the idea of using these cameras to fight crime instead. So do you buy it, or do you agree with the 20-plus mayors who have banded together to tell Doug Ford to can the ban because the speed cameras potentially save lives? And then at City Hall, we've got one of the councillors who's already raised his hand and said, I want to be mayor. Councillor Brad Bradford announced more than a year before the election. So do you think he can break through as Chow's main challenger? Is it too early? Do you have someone that you have your eyes on? Maybe it's you. And speaking of Mayor Chow, she's warning that the city's shortfall in funding asylum seekers could mean a 2% property tax hike. Ouch! Do you think the feds should pay more? Or do you support filling the gap as a homeowner? And Ontario jurors, wow, this is big news, will now be paid $120 a day starting on day one of service. So is that enough to make you want to be on a jury? Or is it a joke compared to what you'll lose in wages? Have you ever sat on a jury? Ooh, what was the case? I hope it's a good one. I'm also going to throw in a couple more because Liberal Member of Parliament Marie-France Lalonde said she wants to put a halt to the annual ritual of springing forward and falling back with time. So November 2nd is when we fall back, gain an hour, throws everybody off. Everybody scratches their head and gets confused. Some provinces do participate in this, some don't. Where does that leave you? Is it time to scrunch it up into a ball and toss it into the trash can and hope you get a hoop with that? I don't know. It's an interesting one. And if there's anything else you want to talk about, even the Jays, maybe you have something you want to pipe in about the Jays before the big weekend. Like, why is Liz just suddenly on the bandwagon when she doesn't really follow baseball? I totally get it. You can jump in and call us and tell us what you think. So the number to do that is easy. It's toll free. It's 1-866-740-4740. Again, toll free. Give me a call, 1-866-740-4740. And we already have a couple callers. That's great, Sandra. You like the idea of Brad Bradford, the person with two first names, running for mayor. How come?
Absolutely. I voted for Brad last time, and I will this time as well. I was hoping he would win last time, but I think he has a very good chance, you know, for this time. I live in East York, and I I think Brad Bradford will be a breath of fresh air. He will be a good leader. He's a good listener, approachable, empathetic, cares about people. And I think, you know, he stating all these reasons, you know, he will, you know, he wants to make this city a city that is good for
livable.
All
livable.
People,
yeah.
All residents that want to form a business. And I think these are all good reasons, and I hope he wins.
All right. Thank you, Sandra. And I think he needs you to help volunteer for his campaign. He ran in 2023 in the mayoral by-election. He finished eighth. So not the best results. Eighth with about 1.28% of the vote, making him a bit of a long shot at this point. Could be why he's jumping in now, increasing his name recognition. Maybe he's got like a hot shot team behind him. Jerry, you also are a fan of Brad Bradford. How come?
Well, in response to his declaration of being the next mayor of Toronto, I would say this is a call to action. It's time for the silent majority to wake up and make their voices heard. Toronto doesn't need 20 Brad Bradfords to run against Olivia Chow and split the vote. The NDP culture that runs City Hall counts on two things at election time. One, being voter apathy, and two, being a couple of dozen Bradfords that think they can fix things at City Hall and end up splitting up the vote. Toronto, wake up. This is your chance coming up to change the situation that we hear about every Friday on Fight Back. Let's fight for a better Toronto.
Well, thank you, Jerry. Jerry makes a great point. If we get a number of candidates that are maybe more right leaning or central, that are comparable to Brad, the vote will be split. The NDP are very careful to generally not have two left leaning candidates running against each other. They're strategic that way. And a lot of times folks say, I don't want to vote strategically, but it depends. Do you want your candidate to win, or do you want platform of a similar platform, to win, so that you have that platform enacted, or are you just stuck with your individual person? JC, you wanna chime in on the upcoming the upcoming mayoral race? It's a year away, but you know, it's around the corner. What do you think,
yes.
JC?
Yes, Olivia Chow is not fit to be a mayor. Whenever she has a problem with financial issues, she always jumps on to the property tax people and she wants them to pay for it.
Yeah, and in fact, just to remind folks, in 2024, we were hit with a 9.5% increase. This year, a 6.9% increase. I suspect the 2% she is talking about would be on top of any other increase that would be required. It's sort of like an over and above. What do you think?
Yes, exactly. She feels that the people who own properties are her bank. That's what she feels. So I would tell people who own that property not to vote her again in the next election. She's not fit to be a mayor.
Yeah, nobody likes it when politicians just come back with their hand out every time they need money, as opposed to looking at creative solutions and ways to reduce costs in other ways. Thank you so much, JC. I appreciate your call. Mario, you've been waiting patiently. What did you want to talk about?
The firearms confiscation that's going on is going to do nothing to restrict, to bring down the crimes. I was once presented with a civilian citation by the late Bill McCormack when he was police chief when we were building the atrium at Sick Kids. Mm-hmm. I put away an armed felon one morning, and then I cleaned up my
bed. Tell us about what happened, Mario.
Well, there was this under 18. Mm-hmm. He went and asked this elderly gentleman went to pick up his wife at the bus terminal downtown. She came in from the zoo. She went to visit family, friends. Then they were going to do some shopping and drive back home to Stratford. So this little so-and-so went and asked him for coffee money. So this man pulls out his wallet and gives him money to go buy breakfast. And the kid smacks him on the back of the head with a pistol, punches him unconscious. Then he beats up his wife, who was 78. Then he takes off. I found this out in court. Then he comes whipping around the corner. He's running right at me.
Uh-huh.
And I just reacted. And,
what'd you do?
Anyway,
what'd you do, Mario? How'd you take him out?
I didn't. He's out of reach. He's got a gun in his hand. So this is May 10th, 91, 7 a.m. No cell phones. So I ran into our side office. I called 911, and I ran back out, and two police cars were already screaming down from Yonge Street. And I gave a description. 2 hours later, the police came to call me on the job site. They had made 5 arrests. I made the ID there at the site, and then again in court. 9 charges, convicted on all 9 charges, 5 weapons charges. And the Crown told me if it wasn't for me, they would have had to let him go.
All right.
Anyway, yeah. All this crime that you see going on, home invasions. There was a guy who was shot. He was shot dead right in front of his kids in his own house. Mm. Another one, the kid who got shot in his bedroom. Another one, they break into a guy's house, a home invasion again, and they put a gun to his 5-year-old daughter's head.
Yeah, so Mario, what do you want? What do you want to see change? And how will it change?
This gun, it's going to do nothing. Absolutely nothing. What I want to see is allow the sports shooters and the hunters and all that to continue what they were doing, because they've never broken any laws. The guy who shot all those people in Nova Scotia, they were all smuggled guns. He wasn't entitled to have them. All these
crimes
are done by illegal guns.
But what's the solution, Mario? What's the problem? What's the solution?
The laws are there. Enforce them.
Okay.
Not to let them out. What about the illegal guy who was here who shot the cop in the stomach? He was out on bail again,
right,
from doing a crime the day before or something.
Right. So it's a federal.
All it comes down to this: that wimp Trudeau sees this as gun thing of going sports shooting as something macho, and he can't stand the macho people because he's such a candy ass wimp.
Okay, so you'd like to see the federal government be tougher on crime. That's a great point, Mario. Thank you so much for calling in. If you have something you want to say, keep in mind, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Want to hear from you. Don, let's stick with the subject of crime. You've got something to say about safety here in the city.
Yes. Well, it kind of covers two things. So who's the best person, the best mayor, I'm talking, the mm-hmm. next mayor, to bring in and to, you know what, people keep saying that the police are at a hand's distance, you know, politics aren't involved. I call BS on that. You look at what's happening in Toronto, the catch and release, turning a blind eye to protected peoples who are allowed to be armed during protests. And I am speaking specifically here to the case of a man who was at a protest, and he was carrying a mini axe, a hatchet, in his belt. And you know that because he is of a certain group, he is allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But women in Toronto cannot be armed for protection when they are riding the bus or the subway, or even, heaven forbid, walking to their car in a grocery parking lot and end up getting stabbed to death. So who is going to be the best candidate to become mayor to take a look at that chief of police straight in the eye and say, enough is enough?
Okay, Don, so you'd like to see a candidate that really campaigns against fighting crime in the city and clamping down on it. Is there anybody that you think that you know of already who's that right person?
Well, I'm not 100% sure who is the right person. I know who is the wrong person right now as it stands, Olivia Chow, and her band of NDPers who seem to be hug a thug, soft on crime. All their compassion and empathy are for the criminals, their upbringing, their background, et cetera, and where is the compassion and the empathy for taxpaying ordinary citizens of Toronto who just want to go about their lives in peace?
Yeah, the victims. You make a great point, Don. And actually, I've had two home invasions in my time here in the city. Yep, we were home both times, and was the first one was probably, I want to say, 2 years ago. And then one was about 10 years ago. So the difference, though, is I think that the criminals are more aggressive now than they were then. I certainly learned a lot about what goes on in the city after speaking to police who came to visit me and sort of shed some light on the fact that there's a lot more going on than we see. But certainly they need the tools to be able to manage what is happening right now. So thanks so much for your call, Don. I'm going to go to Mike. It seems the subject of who's going to be running the city in 1+ years is a hot topic. So, Mike, have you already decided to volunteer for someone's campaign?
Yes.
Oh, good. Who?
Fury.
What do you?
Anthony Fury.
Why? Why?
He's fiscally responsible. He's been writing for the Toronto Sun for years, and he's got some really good ideas. He knows how to handle things. He knows finance, and he's just the perfect match. Get rid of the lefties at City Hall. Brad Bradford, 4 years ago, he wanted to defund the cops. Now he wants to do this. Now he wants to do that. This guy goes with the waves, you know, wherever the waves are going. We need Fury in there, somebody conservative, somebody that can really do things and not bother about stepping on other people's toes. You know, like,
yeah,
we don't need somebody to bend over backwards for all these different things.
So let me ask,
we can get rid of Shelley Carroll and that other one, all the wing nuts. Then we'll have a better city.
Mike, let me ask you something. If you knew that there was 3 or 4 candidates that were all polling similarly around who was going to vote for them, would you be willing to vote for someone else and vote strategically to avoid one of the folks that you really didn't want to see in the office?
No, I'll just vote for the Fury.
Okay, so that means you might split the vote.
Why should I vote for anybody else?
You might split the vote. You got to look at the bigger picture.
Well, maybe not this year he's going to win, or next year, sorry, but maybe in 4 years he's going to win, but he's going to keep trying because he's fiscally responsible.
All right.
He's got a brain.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mike.
Okie dokie.
I appreciate it. So we're talking about a number of issues. You've heard a lot now around the city and concerns about crime and who is the best person to run our city. Of course, we're also dealing with larger matters right across the country, like the Canada Post strike. And it seems that, not a whole lot's been happening between the two sides. In fact, I think they're both sipping pina coladas on some beach somewhere, because I don't know anything that's who's doing what to try and resolve the strike and get people whose passports or important documents or packages are stuck in the mail somewhere. Bob, do you have something that you want to talk about regarding the strike?
Thank you. Yes, I would like to see what people think. Our federal government funds the CBC, Canadian Broadcast Corporation, to $2 billion a year, from what I understand. And the post office is short maybe half of that, maybe a little more than half. And I would think a lot of people would rather have their mail delivery than have the CBC. And I've never heard any of the media raise that subject. And I wonder if the government obviously wants CBC because they promote the government. You know, like you don't bite the hand that feeds you kind of thing.
You know what? But you make a good point, Bob. You don't.
And I'd be interested to see what most people would think. Like, would mm-hmm. you rather have mail delivery or would you rather be able to watch CBC?
I
would rather have mail delivery.
You would rather have your mail. And I'll tell you something. I don't know why we don't have more referendums. Let's just all put down our choice on a piece of paper. What do you prefer? And get the, you know, consensus. And maybe it has to be like a 75% threshold of people in favor of something for change. But, you know, we just don't do that.
The government, unfortunately, I think, though, will be reluctant to take funding away from the CBC because the post office is not going to support the government. Unfortunately, I think our media does.
Well, I think a lot of folks believe that you need a public broadcaster. It's giving you a unbiased opinion, using some air quotes there, because they're not beholden to shareholders, etc. But that is another subject, Bob. We're going to have to take a break. Thank you so much for calling in. When we come back, we'll continue here on our Free for All Friday on Fight Back. Stay with me.
Welcome to Specsavers, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
to seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer.
When one considers the meaning of life, it is a struggle between alternative viewpoints of life itself.
A free-for-all Friday.
And without the ability to defend one's own viewpoint against other, perhaps more aggressive ideologies, then reasonableness and moderation could quite simply disappear.
Name your topic and be as deep as you like, as long as there's a point in there somewhere. Sitting in for Libby, here is Liz West.
Hi, everybody. Happy Friday. A reminder, if you want to get in on this conversation, any conversations, or if you even want to start your own conversation, the number is toll-free 1-866-740-4740. We've been talking about a potential property tax increase that Mayor Olivia Chow sort of, I'm going to say, threatened if the province didn't step in and make good on the asylum seekers' budget requirements. The fact that Brad Bradford has already thrown his hat in the ring for Mayor of Toronto. He came in eighth last time. You know, what do you think of that? Are you thinking about it at all? The speed camera ban, Premier Doug Ford wants to ban all areas, all cities, municipalities in the province from using them. And about 20 mayors have come forward with a letter saying, listen, let us at least keep them in the school zone. So do you think that they work? Do they actually decrease speeding and change habits, drivers' habits? Or is it a great way for municipalities to, you know, gain revenue that's been lost in other areas like land transfer and things like that? And we're also talking about the Canapo strike. Does it bother you? Have you noticed? Did you forget? Are you getting anything in your mailbox? And because I still get junk mail, someone's putting something in my mailbox. And finally, jury duty. Okay. I think this one's really interesting because up until this was announced this week, you got nothing to be a juror. You were not compensated for the first 10 days. So you were expected to tell your employer, I've got to do jury duty. It's my legal obligation. And I am going to do it for free because why would you do that? And that if your employer felt bad for you and chose to pay you, then great. Aren't you the lucky one? If your jury duty extended beyond 10 days as of day 11 through to day 49, you would make $40 a day. You could babysit and make more if you babysat for 3 hours one evening. Day 50 onward, they'd finally cough up $100 a day. Well, by then you're so deep in debt, you've probably been kicked out of wherever you live and you're, you know, living in your parents' basement. Forget who's going to cover childcare for you. And if you lived more than 40 kilometers from the courthouse, well, maybe someone would be paying a travel allowance, but, you know, it wouldn't have covered your gas, your insurance, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, the good news is this is $120 a day starting from day one. How often are people asked to be on juries? Well, each year around 800,000 people across the province are mailed a mandatory jury eligibility form. I think I got one this year. And that is to determine whether or not you qualify. After that, and you have to do it, they say you have to. You could be summoned within up to 3 years to appear as part of a jury panel. Now, of course, doesn't mean you're going to be on the jury if you show up with your lightsaber and your, you know, hair done just right and makeup and whatnot. Maybe you'll be rejected or dismissed and not part of the selection. But, you know, there's no odds as to whether you will or won't be selected. And once you serve and have done that, and it could be really cool. If you're getting paid, it'll be even cooler. You don't have to do it for 3 years. So have you ever been on a jury? Have you ever been called to jury but not selected? And then how did you avoid being on the jury? I want to know that. Now, what happened with your work and your expenses? How did you manage through it? Because I've always been led to believe that, you know, you kind of have to do it. Unless you want to make up a story as to why you don't have to. So would really love someone to call in about the jury duty. But listen, we're gonna go and move on to speed cameras now. Ian, you're in Guelph. You can see both sides of the speed camera issue.
Yes. Back when Harris pulled them from the 401, back when the Harris government was in, people said that the very next day, traffic on the 401 was back up to its regular speed. So we know that they work. Then there's the other side, as the mayor of Vaughan said, why are people running a speed trap if they know it's there? How come they don't know when we've got signs? So there's something wrong. Nobody runs a radar trap if they know it's there. So there are some problems with it. I wrote to my member of parliament and I said, they say that this is for safety. Let's have the provincial government take 25%, not add, but take 25% of the gross revenue from the photo radar and have safety education back in the schools. Elmer the elephant is long gone. We need to get back in. Children, until they're in grade up to grade four, should be learning street smarts, not just how to cross the street and pedestrian law, but how to deal with a stranger. By the time they're in grade eight, they should know that they don't want to have anything to do with opiates and fentanyl. And by the time they're in grade eight, they should know how to recognize an emergency and how to call 911 and report it. And by the time they're in grade 10, I would like to see that they know the Highway Traffic Act well enough that they could pass their G1 written test. Plus, safety education could include learning first aid with CPR by the time you're in grade 10. And that's what I would really like to see. If they say it's for safety, let's put their money where their mouth is. Yes, we need better signage because nobody, as I would say, runs a radar trap if they know it's there. But let's take the money and put it into safety education. And that's what I wanted to say about photo radar.
Thank you, Ian. I think you've highlighted that it's a multi-pronged approach. It's not just one simple thing. And you're right. As long as there's education and as long as these aren't traps, because I described earlier this week how there was a bit of a speed trap with a photo radar camera right around the corner from where I live, and also a reasonable amount that you can go above the speed limit, especially if the speed limit is dropped down just to catch people, which it was in this case. So thanks for that, Ian. James, you want to chime in on speed cameras?
Yes, hello. I agree speed cameras are not a tax grab if you don't speed. There's so much speeding today, but really why I'm calling, a couple of weeks ago you talked about a speed trap on Mortimer.
I did.
Once you pass PAPE, it drops to 30.
Yeah.
And it's 40. And you're so right, but there's a school there, Centennial College.
You know, no, but the college is closing down, and that's for adults.
Ah, right, but it's still a school, technically.
Okay.
And that's...
James, hold on. It's a school with people over the age of 18? We need to worry about them?
All right. I didn't know that the age of the... people that go to a school made a difference.
Yeah. And they're closing the campus if they haven't already.
Okay, then it's not a speed trap anyway if you see the signage that says it's now 30. If you think about it, Greenwood was changed to 30 all the way down until it got to Danforth Tech, and then at Danforth Tech it was 40. Well, in the last couple of years,
that makes no sense.
To 30 all the way down.
That's like a reverse. They sped up in front of the school.
That's right, but I wrote a letter about that to our counselor, and the next week, unbeknown to me, it was changed to 30, and of course, pulling out of my street, there's no sign, and I got tagged with a ticket of going 47.
Oh, you're kidding! Yeah, James, okay. You did the right thing! Oh,
but
my...
guess what? I've never sped down there ever since.
Oh, you actually corrected what was a massive mistake, and then paid the price for it.
Hoisted on my own petard, as they say. But let me tell you, I've never sped since, and every time, I pretty well go the speed limit anyway, and I guess it's much to the annoyance of a lot of people.
And I was going to say, what kind of car do you drive?
People overtake me when I'm doing 35.
Right. All right. Well, good to have you on the streets. Thank you for calling in, James. And Joe, you've got a juicy jury duty story for us, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, what happened?
I was at your show a couple of weeks ago. I really enjoyed that. I wish Lorraine Segato would have done a song, though, because I was a fan of hers from the old Queen Street days.
Yeah,
when they were
I'll tell her you said that. I will mention that to her. We'll pressure her for next time.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks. So tell me, what was your jury duty experience?
Well, I'm retired now, and I worked for the bank. It was maybe about 10 years ago, and I was summoned to go up to Brampton, and it was a home invasion murder, whereas... there was one young offender and two other young men broke into a house, and this young man lived with his mother, and they killed him. They shot him with a shotgun, and they roughed her up and stole her car. Anyway, they picked up the car at Jane and Finch about 2 or 3 days later and arrested three people. So anyway, I was summoned for jury duty for that.
Okay,
and
so
when the
what happened?
Called us all into the courtroom and mm-hmm. explained exactly what the charges were and what happened and all that.
Right.
Well, the two accused were sitting at the table at the front where the bench is, and one of them was fiddling around with an elastic. The other one was doodling on a sheet of paper,
mm-hmm.
you know, and this is, and meanwhile, the bailiff is reading off exactly what happened, how they got there, you know, what they did when they got into the, they gave you details of what happened inside the house and how they ran out and stole the car and whatnot, and how they were picked up at Jane and Finch.
Right.
So as the judge would say, asked if anybody was, you know, thought they weren't capable of doing it. I would have got paid anyway, so I would have been happy to do it. But I just felt that I told the judge, a few people said they were terrified of those two boys and they didn't want to be associated with it and they were let go. But I told the judge, I said, you know something? I can't see anything else but them being guilty. And I don't care what anybody says, what the trial says or anything like that. So the judge looked at me and said, I appreciate your honesty. And he said, well, I have to excuse you. And I said, look, I can be here because I'm getting paid one way or the other, you know. He said, well, you should probably take a couple of days off of work and come up and watch the trial, but we can't have you.
Oh.
I said, okay, fine. And I did. And both of them were found guilty anyway.
Interesting. So you were going to get paid because your employer, you said you worked for a bank.
Their policy. I was talking to my manager the day after, and I told them, right? And he said, well, you'll get paid and everything. And it would have been interesting to have been there, but I just.
Yeah. You had to be honest.
I'm pretty much a little right wing when it comes to that kind of stuff. And I just, you know, I just told the judge, I said, I can't see anything else. They're just sitting there like they couldn't care less. Like it was another day, you know, and the bailiff got into detail of what happened and all that. And it just really upset me anyway. So that's why I said, as far as I'm concerned, they're guilty and I don't care what happens in the trial.
Wow. Okay. Well, listen, I appreciate you telling us that story. I haven't heard a firsthand account of someone who's gone through this experience. I know there's a lot of really boring trials that people are stuck sitting on a jury, but that's interesting how you handled it. So thanks so much for sharing that, Joe. Appreciate it. I'm going to go to Leonard because you have a comment regarding the speed cameras. You want to keep some of them? Not the ones by my house, though, right?
Oh, right. No, Doug, I love you, but don't get rid of them all. That's just a waste. And they are useful, say, in school zones, other areas. Keep them there. And this federal gun confiscation buyback program,
mm-hmm.
that's going to do nothing to get rid of the handguns on the street. That's just confiscating all guns, basically disarming Canada. And what's going to happen is people who have, they've obeyed all the rules and everything, you buy them back from them at not market price, what they could get for them, they're going to take the money and they're going to find out where all the street gangs buy their handguns, and they're going to end up buying handguns. So you don't have to worry about a long gun anymore. People are going to be driving around with handguns in their glove box because of this stupid move.
All right. Thank you for chiming in on that. Pretty definitely something to think about. Thank you, Leonard. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll take your calls, 1-866-740-4740, right here on Free For All Friday on Fight Back.
Welcome to Specsavers, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
seniors
to
seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer, a free-for-all Friday. Step up, say your piece, and we promise not to interrupt.
Excuse me!
Just be lively about it. We have a lot of listeners hanging on your every word. Sitting in for Libby, here is Liz West.
I promised you it was going to be a good free-for-all Friday, and it is. You do not disappoint. And one of the things I did want to, I was hoping someone would want to talk about is the daylight saving time, the practice of that. Not daylight savings, daylight saving time. That's the proper way to say it. An MP has said, no, I think it's time that we really look at forgetting about this altogether. And in Canada, Saskatchewan does not switch. Parts of BC and Quebec and Nunavut also do not participate. So why the heck do we do it at all? November 2nd is the day. You can put it on your calendar. It's going to get really dark really early that day. I personally hate that. So what do you think? Now, we were talking about a bunch of other things as well. And Pat, you've been holding on the line patiently. You have issues around getting around the city. What's on your mind?
Well, I go by, when I'm walking my dog, I go by signs for new proposed high-rise buildings. And I went by one at Yonge, just north of Davisville the other day. And I think it's going to be 14 stories high, and they're going to be zero cars, but they're going to have provision for 153 bicycles. I don't understand this. Are we supposed to become the Amsterdam of Canada? I mean, you know, this is some sort of a way to avoid proper planning, and that's why I wonder what our new man who is proposing he wants to be the mayor, whether he's in this idea of everybody should have bicycles and we don't allow cars to be parked anywhere.
All right. Thank you for your call, Pat. You sound like you're in a wind tunnel, but you bring up a point, you know, we have to make the city work for everybody, and people do drive cars as well as riding bikes. There's nothing wrong with being another Amsterdam. It works really well in Amsterdam, as a matter of fact. You have to be a really good bike rider to ride a bike there, or you might get run over or hit. I'm telling you, it's a whole other level of bike riding. But we don't have a great climate, you know, all year round. So it's not practical for everybody. So good point. And if Brad Bradford's listening, you might want to think about what you're going to say about bike riding in the city. Doug, you are in Aurora and you've got a jury duty story for us. What's your story?
Yeah, about 5 or 6 years ago, I was called up for jury selection.
Uh-huh.
We all got into the room, went through till lunchtime. They told us take a 2-hour break, come back. So we all came back in the room. Oh, we don't need you for the rest of the day. Come back the following Monday. Friday afternoon, get a phone call. Oh, we don't need you Monday. Come back at 10 o'clock Tuesday. So everybody gets there 10 o'clock Tuesday, back in the room. Don't need you right now. Go for lunch. Come back after lunch. So we all do that again, and then, after lunch, get back in the room. Oh, we don't need you at all. You're all dismissed.
Okay, so if you're paying me, I'm not as annoyed. If I'm mm-hmm. not getting paid, I'm angry at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, fortunately, I was getting paid through my work, but still very disorganized.
Yeah. And did anybody ask any questions? I think I'd be the annoying jury member who said, okay, you want to tell me what's going on? Why are we here? But then we're told mm-hmm. to leave. Did they buy you lunch? What was the deal?
No, nothing.
Did you make friends?
No, just everybody sat there. Everybody had their devices there or their books, just waiting for their number to be called.
What was the case? Do you know?
I was some kind of drug case. Everybody, a couple people got called in to go in and see the judge one at a time, and they got either selected or they got dismissed.
It sounds really...
There was no explanation as to why we're called back again and then told to go home. Nobody said a thing.
Hmm. Yeah, it doesn't sound too respectful of your time, especially since you are not getting paid. So you mm-hmm. must. So would you do it again?
I hope not. I even had to cancel a medical appointment or change a medical appointment.
Sure.
Because they had changed the date from the Monday to the Tuesday to come back the second time.
Yeah.
So I had to call a doctor and then try to go through the hoops there trying to change my medical appointment.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, not too respectful. Well, thanks. No. So thanks for calling in and sharing your story, Doug.
Okay, thanks a lot. Have a good one.
You too. Howard, have you gotten any tickets from a speed camera?
No, I have not. And that is my question. How do you get a ticket?
Oh, they mail it to you. It's very depressing.
Well, they can't mail it to you.
Well, not now they can't. You're right. Good point,
Howard.
That's
what I mean. And if you don't pay it, it's increased in value, apparently.
Howard, why did I not think of this? How are the tickets getting... See, I feel like there will be a way to get it to you.
Well, they put it on your license, and they charge you about 10 times more than what it would have been.
No, they don't. They don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't, because they don't know...
It's on your driver's license, and when you have to renew your driver's license...
No, Howard, they don't know who's driving the car. That's the difference. They don't know because they only take the license plate, and so the owner of the car is sent the ticket, but in fact, they don't know who the driver is, which is why it does not apply to your license.
Well, 15, 20 years ago, they used to do that, though. 25 years ago, when I was sort of involved with it, with the police office. But anyway, it was on your renewal of your driver's license.
Yeah, maybe they do that, even though they can't actually
Yeah,
you know, they can't identify who the driver is.
And yeah.
It's usually someone who doesn't care about the speed limit, and it might not be the owner of the car. Is what I'm saying.
Well, even on a what do you call that? The speed camera. You still don't know who's driving the car.
Yeah. I don't know where I haven't experienced that personally, but I think your point is a good one. How are they going to get those speed camera tickets to the owner? And also, what about other kinds of late payment notices? Or, for example, if you have a toll in the U.S., U.S. will mail it to you. Yeah, and then that's going to be trouble because that will go up and they won't care.
As I said, in most cases, they want to double and triple the doggone charges.
You know,
because of the interest rates and this and that and everything else under the sun.
Well, I will tell you, the charges here are nothing in comparison to those in Germany. Because I was in Germany, I was not driving, but we got home and we got some doozies in the mail. Doozies. Wow. Four-digit speed camera charges.
Well, why were you driving like that?
First of all, it wasn't me, and there was a voice in the back seat telling the driver that there is no speed limit on the Autobahn, which is not entirely true.
I see.
Not entirely true. Let's just say it was memorable, Howard. Anyway, thanks so much for calling in. I really appreciate it.
You take care.
You too. Esko, you've been so patient. We're going to go back to the topic of mayor. Are you running for mayor, Esko?
Okay, I like that spiel after the break where it goes something like, and I'm paraphrasing, we encourage vigorous debate to sharpen minds so our society does not go mad. And it's a good thing. It reminds you of the goodness of Charlie Kirk, because truth surpasses any border, and a desire for a moral society and making our days good again, like the better days that this city used to know and used to have, before the influx of bad things, if we get a mayor that promotes decency and morality instead of promoting the opposite and takes care of you Torontonians by creating your housing and giving you your housing instead of to asylum claimants, then you will be on par, not under miles of debt, and you won't have to have bicycles taken up two or three or four or five stories trying to mimic or imitate Denmark or wherever, because we have far more people here, especially people here that are driving with their eyes shut tight. So as a hardcore rider myself, I've been licked down off of my bike and wasn't able to walk for over 10 years. So if I'm an elite rider, I know it's dangerous, and it's happening all over my street over here with this bottleneck at Eglinton, and they got rid of all the lanes for vehicles. And it's caused more accidents than ever before, because when you have bottleneck of people coming in here by the millions per year, and somehow they have money for vehicles all of a sudden, and nowhere to put them, this is the chaos that ensues. The answer is common sense and decency and respect towards the people who are paying their taxes, but yet somehow we're still going under in debt. Just like the guy you said, you're peed off if you got no money, you don't get paid to hang out and be wasted. Well, we Canadians are tired of being wasted and being used and abused as a stepping stone. We come first, treated last. It makes no sense in Chow's dictatorship. And if I could get Charlie Kirk back, I'd say, come on over to AM740 and let Libby know the reason why we care so much about you. And why it doesn't matter if you're an American or not, because the truth spans through any generation. As long as you have common sense, which isn't very common anymore, you'll see that the truth surfaces. But as long as people are promoting irrational and logical craziness, like paying for synthetic crack, synthetic opioids to promote drugs, and having people going around with their kids next to a drug dealer who's selling the drugs in front of the church is on Sanctuary Church on Church near Church and Wellesley there.
Mm-hmm.
This vicious cycle will never stop.
Okay.
And this is with your taxes, people.
Oh,
get it through your heads. We don't have a housing shortage. We have a fake orchestrated refugee crisis.
Okay.
Victimhood professionalism nonstop for the past 22 years, in case you haven't noticed.
I appreciate your calling in, Esko, and letting us know and your patience while you were waiting on the line there. Certainly, you don't really know for sure what your politicians think, though, because they often will campaign on what they believe is popular opinion and sometimes pander. Versus, you know, knowing what's really at the heart of them as a human being. Anyway, what a great episode of Free for All Friday. Thank you to everybody who called in. Even thank you to those of you who thought of calling in, and maybe you'll call in next week. That is a wrap, though, for this edition. Thanks to producer Kevin Craig, Grace Asaki for another great show. And up next, Eva D has your number ones at one. Have a great day and an even better weekend. And thanks for listening.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
Welcome to Specsavers, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
seniors
to me.
Seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.